On this Sunday night, nuclear escalation. North Korea conducts its sixth and most powerful nuclear test yet in direct defiance of the United States. Tonight, President Trump condemns the North's provocative move, and Defense Secretary Mattis warns that any threat to the U.S. will be met with a massive military response. New evacuations. Thousands of homes are under an evacuation order in West Houston. More than a week after Harvey first made landfall, many have started cleaning out their homes, but damaged schools are disrupting the new school year for a lot of families. State of emergency. Firefighters in Los Angeles battling the largest wildfire ever inside city limits as erratic winds and scorching temperatures complicate the emergency. And the price you pay, how one new business is shaking things up by offering brandless household products. But how good are those deals? Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. A provocative move out of North Korea overnight has dramatically increased tensions between that country and the rest of the world. In its first nuclear test since President Trump took office, North Korea claimed it detonated a powerful hydrogen bomb that could potentially be launched on a missile that could reach the United States. The underground test sent shockwaves throughout the region, literally and figuratively. President Trump responded on Twitter this morning, calling the words and actions of North Korea, quote, very hostile and dangerous. This afternoon, the defense secretary emerged from the White House with a stern warning for Kim Jong-un, promising a massive military response to any threat to the U.S., its territories, or allies. We have several reports, beginning with NBC's Ron Allen in Seoul, South Korea.
An extraordinary act of defiance. North Korea releasing pictures of Kim Jong-un inspecting what it claims is a hydrogen bomb that can be mounted and launched by an intercontinental ballistic missile. Then, hours later, a massive underground blast detected at a nuclear testing site, measured at 6.3 magnitude by the U.S. Geological Survey, followed by a smaller blast minutes later, a collapse. North Korea state media announcing the country's sixth nuclear test. A perfect success. The regime's most powerful test yet, estimated at some 4 to 5 times greater than the nuclear bomb the U.S. dropped on Hiroshima during World War II. Tremors felt in South Korea, buildings reportedly shaking in China and Russia. A senior U.S. official says the analysis so far is consistent with North Korea's claim it tested an advanced nuclear device, seen in the region as a direct threat to the United States.
I don't think the North Koreans are afraid of Donald Trump right now. I think they see a president with a low approval rating, a lot of domestic discord. I think to some extent they may be taking advantage of that and kind of pushing the envelope.
The North Korean regime rapidly expanding its nuclear and missile capability under the so-called supreme leader, threatening to attack Guam, firing a long-range missile over Japan. Today, South Korea called for the strongest possible measures against the North, while warning war would be catastrophic. And Japan asked for and received reassurances of U.S. military protection. Defense Secretary James Mattis called the U.S. commitment to allies ironclad.
We are not looking to the total annihilation of a country, namely North Korea. But as I said, we have many options to do so. Thank you very much.
From around the world, there's been condemnation of North Korea and calls for the United States and its allies to negotiate a solution to this crisis. The UN Security Council plans yet another emergency meeting on all this tomorrow. Kate.
Ron Allen in Seoul tonight. At the White House this afternoon, the president asked for a briefing from his national security team to discuss military options. And there's also talk of economic retaliation. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has more.
After church on National Prayer Day, not words of faith, but words of warning instead.
Mr. President, will you attack North Korea?
That ominous comment coming before President Trump huddled with top advisors late today about how to handle Pyongyang's most provocative move yet, asking about military options, according to his Secretary of Defense in a rare West Wing statement.
Any threat to the United States or its territories, including Guam, or our allies, will be met with a massive military response, a response both effective and overwhelming.
Today, focusing more on a military response than a diplomatic one, Secretary Mattis still reassured regional partners, President Trump, on the phone with Japan's leader on how to maximize pressure on Pyongyang, even as he aimed some of his toughest talk at another ally, South Korea, tweeting, "Their talk of appeasement with North Korea will not work." The president's already weighing withdrawal from a trade agreement with Seoul, and now in a dramatic escalation of economic threats, adding, "The United States is considering, in addition to other options, stopping all trade with any country doing business with North Korea." That could devastate relationships with places like South Korea, but it's probably unrealistic, given it could crater the global economy. The Treasury Secretary now drafting stricter sanctions to cut off Kim Jong-un.
Anybody that wants to do trade or business with them would be prevented from doing trade or business with us.
North Korea testing not just its bombs, but President Trump, too.
The military options for the president really range from bad to awful. If he launches a preemptive strike on the peninsula, North Korea will certainly retaliate against South Korea, and that's all-out war.
The escalating crisis in North Korea hits the president's plate when it is already packed. A DACA decision coming up, plus debt ceiling, budget talks, Harvey relief, and a tax reform push with Congress back Tuesday. All of it a clear sign summer is over in Washington. The president facing fall and one of his most critical months yet, Kate.
All right, Hallie Jackson at the White House. Hallie, thank you. For more, I want to bring in Hans Nichols, who's been tracking developments at the Pentagon for us today. Hans, was this at all expected by the Pentagon?
Well, Kate, Pentagon officials haven't been wondering if North Korea would conduct a nuclear test, but rather when. Now that they're coming to grips with the magnitude of this test, Defense Secretary Mattis updated the president on his military options. And even though Mattis couched his warning, he used the words total annihilation when naming North Korea. For a Secretary of Defense that has emphasized diplomacy, that's a rhetorical escalation.
And what are you hearing about a response from South Korea? And what about what the U.S. can do to defend against a missile that could be fired by North Korea?
Well, South Korea military, according to local reports, has already said it's conducted live fire training exercises, including ballistic missiles and F-15 fighter jets, simulating an attack on North Korea's nuclear test site. In terms of defense, last week the U.S. tested successfully a sea-based missile interceptor off the coast of Hawaii, fired from a destroyer. Kate, the U.S. has several different defensive systems, and they've all had some recent successes, but they've never tested against incoming multiple missiles. Kate?
All right, Hans Nichols in Washington. Now let's turn to Texas, where so many homeowners are spending this holiday weekend ripping out carpet and hauling furniture out of devastated homes. And that is the best case scenario. On Saturday, thousands of residents in West Houston were told they can't be in their homes and they must evacuate. Jacob Rascone is down in West Houston tonight. Jacob?
Kate, good evening. More than a week after Harvey slammed into the Texas coast, thousands of homes remain under several feet of water. Most of the region is shifting its focus to the cleanup effort in what is likely to be the most expensive natural disaster in U.S. history. Tonight in West Houston, neighborhood after neighborhood still underwater. Mandatory evacuations for 4,600 homes after their owners thought they had escaped the worst.
It's sad. I feel sad for us. I feel sad for everyone.
Families like the Romos told they can't return to their homes for 9 more days while the city releases water from overflowing reservoirs.
The few stuff that we have left that's not been flooded out, that's all we want.
Throughout the region, the damage is overwhelming. Street after street looks like this. The cleanup and rebuilding may cost up to $190 billion, more than Hurricanes Katrina and Sandy combined. A day of prayer in Texas and nationwide, some congregations setting up outside while water was pumped from their chapel. Volunteers flood the streets and makeshift distribution centers. Truckloads of donations from Houstonians and generous Americans from around the country still pouring in, feeding and clothing tens of thousands stuck in shelters. President Trump visiting some of them over the holiday weekend. In Crosby, northeast of Houston, the Arkema plant on fire again as containers filled with unstable chemicals explode and burn. The company now saying they will speed up the process so hundreds of evacuated families can return home sooner. More than 75 public schools also damaged in the flood, some destroyed. Kingwood High School took in water up to the second floor, forcing it to close for the entire academic year. Many others could close for months, leaving thousands of students across the region uprooted, forced to attend a different school this fall.
These are our kids, and they don't know what tragedy looks like. This is the first time that they probably experienced a tragedy. They don't know what this looks like. And to know that they lost everything, they lost their school, they lost their homes.
Jacob Rascone, NBC News, Houston, Texas.
I'm Miguel Almaguer in East Texas, where today, for the first time, floodwaters are slowly receding. So many here have lost so much. For Walter Simmons, there was only heartbreak at home.
No, it could be worse. Doesn't matter whether it's 4 inches or 24 inches. It doesn't matter.
His neighborhood in Port Arthur was under 2 feet of water. The only thing keeping him afloat now is family and friends.
Their homes are underwater. Their trucks are gone. Their cars are gone. That's really the most heartbreaking thing is to see how much everyone's lost.
Nearby cities like Beaumont are struggling to provide power and water. The masses waiting in line for hours that can stretch several city blocks.
A lot of the stores are pretty much empty with everything. So
you need everything.
Yeah, we're starting completely over.
Tonight, the military's bringing in what's needed most. Gabe Gutierrez is in the air.
Though the floodwaters are receding, there is now a critical need for drinking water. Tons of it now being delivered every day.
Over the weekend, there were more than 50 water rescues. Thousands of evacuees shipped out of overwhelmed shelters, some being flown hours away. While major interstates like I-10 are just beginning to dry out. Tonight in these neighborhoods, there's concerns over sewage and toxins, but there is also resilience and a promise to return.
We're survivors because we know where we're going to meet tomorrow.
You're coming home.
That's right. We're coming home. It's going to be a few months.
Even though the floodwaters here have just receded, many people are beginning to clean up. And the damage, there's no question it'll be in the billions. It's also inside so many homes. There is rot damage as well as mold. But everyone here does say they will move forward. Kate?
So much to deal with. Miguel Almaguer, thank you. And as if that weren't enough, we're tracking another hurricane. Irma is now a Category 3 storm with winds of 115 miles per hour over the next several days. It's forecast to become a Category 4 hurricane and take a turn to the northwest. Puerto Rico and the Bahamas are at risk of hurricane conditions this week. It's too early to know whether it will reach the U.S. coast. In Los Angeles, firefighters are working hard to save people's homes as they battle the largest wildfire ever inside city limits. The blaze has spread to more than 5,000 acres. It's prompted the mayor to declare a local state of emergency. Evacuation orders are in effect in some areas as erratic winds complicate the firefight. Steve Patterson is in Los Angeles with the very latest.
Tonight, firefighters battling a blaze spread out over thousands of acres, forcing hundreds of evacuations, destroying homes in what's being called the largest fire in L.A. history. The so-called Latuna Canyon fire sparked Friday. Fueled by scorching temperatures, low humidity, and high winds, embers hopped California's 210 freeway, creating a tunnel of flames before shutting down traffic. This weekend, the flames marched into neighborhoods.
We got to get this, because if this oak tree goes, it'll carry over, so we got to keep that wet.
More than 1,000 firefighters are on the front lines trying to stop the spread, creating containment on the ground, dropping retardant from the air.
Really, honestly, it's my worst fear.
The fire is burning above Tracy Goldman's home. She and her family spent the day packing anything important.
Our honeymoon picture from 28 years ago, so that can't be replaced.
A few doors down, we watch with Sylvia Gizelgin's family, who just evacuated, looking on as flames pushed into their yard.
Can you just tell me how you're feeling, seeing the flames right there and knowing that's your house?
Sad. I'm a pastor, and I believe we're praying. That's why we're here, so the fire will stop.
The Latuna Canyon fire is one of 74 major wildfires burning in the West, suffering from a record-breaking heat wave. In Oregon, more than 150 hikers were rescued after being trapped between two out-of-control blazes in the Columbia River Gorge. Sunday, the dark skies over L.A., a constant reminder of danger as neighbors hold out hope the worst is over.
And tonight, California Governor Jerry Brown issuing a state of emergency for this fire. Meanwhile, crews are making significant progress battling this. With weather conditions finally favorable, officials tell us they could have this contained in a matter of days. Kate?
Steve Patterson out west. Steve, thank you. Still ahead tonight, how a new online store ditching big brand names claims that it can save you big bucks. And he called it a beautiful moment, a blind football player's big play. An online startup company in San Francisco is shaking up the retail model by going brandless, dropping the noticeable labels you might be used to seeing on household products that you buy. As Jolene Kent reports, it's a gamble aimed at a new generation of shoppers.
When a new company sets up shop, so much of luring in those early customers is about the brand. But this San Francisco startup is redefining that. CEO Tina Sharkey co-founded Brandless, which ships everything from barbecue sauce to hand lotion direct to consumers. Each item is priced at $3 or less. The idea? Eliminate what the company calls the brand tax, which includes advertising, retail space, and distribution.
If people actually understood what things cost versus what people pay for them, they'd be rioting in the streets.
I see maple syrup right there. How much is that maple syrup?
$3.
$3. But maple syrup at the grocery store is probably twice, if not more. So are you telling me that that entire difference is all brand markup?
It's not just brand markup. It's basically an entire system. It goes from the supplier. Then they have to play a distributor to get into their retail outlet. Then they go to the retail outlet who gets...
Finally tonight, as floodwaters recede in Texas, volunteers have been showing up in waves to help people affected by Harvey. Singer Harry Connick Jr. was one of those in Houston today, working to help those in need. Katie Beck is in Texas tonight with much more on the volunteer effort.
When life is saturated by loss, when words fail.
Close the wall with me.
Sometimes music speaks. Hymns of hope inside a Houston house of worship. Songs replacing sorrow.
I remember when my town, not too many towns away from here, got devastated by Hurricane Katrina.
Almost 12 years ago to the day, singer Harry Connick Jr. lent compassion to a devastated New Orleans.
Good luck to you, baby. Good luck.
Now he's one of thousands helping Houston rise, a city that once opened its arms to Katrina victims.
And so this was a way to pay it forward.
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget Houston for that. I've always loved Houston.
As the waters recede, volunteer efforts have flooded in, thousands showing up day after day in shelters and neighborhoods left in shambles.
I really appreciate that because we are really hungry.
Sifting through the damage and lifting the spirits of strangers.
It's actually easier to help than not to help. It's like easier to give than not to give.
Truckloads of essentials, handing out food, and spreading the hope that at some point life will be normal again.
Right now I'm just visiting and hugging a lot. And just seeing what they need.
A week after Harvey, there is so much need.
This little light of mine, come on, y'all.
But hope is not in short supply.
This little light of mine.
Katie Beck, NBC News, Houston.
And that is NBC Nightly News on a Sunday night. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York for all of us here at NBC News. Have a great night.